All right, if you have your Bibles, I'm in John chapter 14 this morning, John 14. We were here a few weeks ago, John 14. We'll come back and look at something else here out of John 14. John 14, we'll start our reading in verse 1, and we'll read through verse 6. John 14, 1 through 6. When you found your place, we'll stand just in reverence to the word of the Lord as we read it. John 14 and verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let's just ask the Lord to help us. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before you once again, Lord, and what a privilege it is to be able to bow before your presence in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we ask that you just help us now, Father, in the preaching of your word. Take me and use me and help me. Lord, I pray for fresh anointing and unction. And then, Lord, I pray that you'd anoint the ears that sit before me, that they would be able to hear, Lord, and soften hearts and open eyes. Oh, Lord, have mercy on us this morning. Speak to us and help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, here a few weeks ago, as we looked at this passage of Scripture and preaching from the thought here in verse 5 with Thomas's question at the end of verse 5, how can we know the way? And we looked at the fact that that was a good question. And we looked at the fact in chapter 12 and chapter 13, and we worked our way through there, chapter 12, 7 and 8, and chapter 13 and verse 1, and chapter 13, verse 33 through 35. Time and time again, the Lord Jesus told his disciples that he wasn't always going to be with them, that he was going to depart out of this world, that he wasn't always going to be there. And there was some anxiety and trouble and misunderstanding in regards to this with his disciples. They didn't really understand the death, burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus until after it was finished. You read in the book of Acts that they said there after he ascended into heaven, they said, now we believe, now we understand, now we know what he was saying. And so here at this stage, there's some misunderstanding and there's some anxiety in the Lord is seeking to comfort them, and we see that in verse 1 of chapter 14. He said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, don't be troubled about this. Don't be full of anxiety about this. And in answer to Thomas's question in verse 5, he said, how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way. And we preached on that thought the other day. Jesus is the only way. There is no other way. If you don't want the way of Jesus, then there's no other way to get to the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples where he was going and why he was going. We see that in verses 2 and 3. The Lord Jesus said, I go to my Father. That's where I'm going. I'm going to heaven. And the reason I'm going there is to prepare a place for you. So he told them the where, he told them the why, and he also told them how to get there. He said that there in verse 4. He said, whither I go, you know, and the way you know. I've already explained to you where I'm going. I've told you time and time again how to get there. You know how to get there, but old Thomas was having trouble grasping hold of it. Just as we do, we struggle with things. And then the Lord Jesus went on to explain very plainly. He said, I am the way. And without Jesus, there is no other way. He's the only way. And I'm glad that he is the way. I'm glad I found the way. He's the straight, he's that straight gate, and that narrow way. He's the right way, not that pernicious way, not that dark way, but he is that way of righteousness and uprightness and that right way. So he's the way. But this morning I want you to notice the second thing that he said. Not only did he say, I am the way, but he also said, I am the truth. And just as the Lord Jesus didn't say, I'm one of the ways, the Lord Jesus also didn't say here, I am one of the truths. Now that seems a stupid thing to say, doesn't it? But when you get out there talking to people, and you talk to them about the gospel and about the gospel truth and about the truth of the Bible, I've had people say to me, well, I'm really glad that you found your truth. And that's your truth, but I'm in search of my truth. And your truth is not necessarily my truth. Now, I'm just simple, okay? And if something is, if something is true, then everything that is in opposition to that truth is not another truth. It's wrong. It's false. It's a lie. It's not my truth and you find your truth. No, it's the truth. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. He didn't say, I'm one of half a dozen truths, pick which one you want. He said, I am the truth. And there isn't half a dozen truths, there is only one truth. Only one. And he said, it is me. I'm the truth. I'm the truth. John Gill, I was reading after him what he had to say, and he said, he is the sum and substance of all truths in the gospel. They are all full of him and center in him. And he is the truth of all the types, shadows, promises, prophecies of the Old Testament. They are all fulfilled and accomplished in him. He is the truth. The truth. Now, as Thomas was asking a question, how can we know the way? Wouldn't you want to know the truth? First of all, Jesus said, I'm the way, but he said, I'm also the truth. There's lots of different ideas out there. There's lots of things out there that are passed as truth. And Pilate, in his cynical question, asked the Lord Jesus himself, Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? Remember when Pilate said that to him in John 18? He said to the Lord Jesus, what is truth? Well, he was looking at truth. It's him. It's Christ Jesus the Lord. He is truth. He is truth. You know, there's a lot out there that stands in opposition to truth, stands in opposition to the Lord Jesus Christ, and all those false things are looking to be passed as the genuine article. In the Bible, there's a number of false things that we're warned about. There's the false witness, there's false lips, there's false accusers, false balances, false gifts. There's plenty of people who have these. They say they've got a gift to do this and that, and they're just clouds with no rain. Right? The Lord of the Bible speaks about those that have false gifts, false visions, false dreams, false prophets, false apostles, false teachers, false brethren, and even false Christs. And they all want to be passed as the genuine article, as the real deal. And we know the author of all this. All these false things, according to John 8 and verse 44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Hear the Lord Jesus Christ, he is truth infinite. He is all truth wrapped up in one being. And then you've got the devil on the other hand, and in him there is no truth. There's not even a skirt of truth. And he's the father of all that which is false, and that is a lie. And we're asking this morning, and children, I'm speaking to you as well, obviously. And listen to me. There's a lot out there that you're going to come across in life that's going to present itself as the truth. And when it comes to the destination of your eternal soul, and that's what Thomas is asking the question about, how can we know the way? You need to get a hold of truth. You need to find that which is true. And the very beginning of verse 6 gives us the authority for the answer we're looking for. Jesus saith unto him. That's the authority. what Jesus said. What you need to do when you're seeking the answers for life, children, as you go through life and you grow up and you've got these questions, there's nothing wrong with questions. Questions are natural. But you know where you need to go to? You need to go to the Bible. Because that's where the truth is found. There's a lot out there that's put across as that which is true, but it's false. It's not the real article. You need to know what Jesus said. Not what I say. Not what mum and dad says. Not what grandpa says. Not what the school teacher says. Not what the government says, but what Jesus says. That's what's right. That's what's true. Jesus said, I am the truth. Go with me to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20. 1 John chapter 5. And here John's closing out his book, closing out his letter. And we see here have a look at verse 19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. Do you know you can know him that is true? You don't only have to, there's not just the ability to know that which is false, but you can know him that is true. Know him that is true. And we are in him that is true. Even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And then he warns them, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Holy Ghost, this is the true God. And we can know that true God, the God of truth, the honest God, the faithful God, the true God. I can know him and you can know him. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. In fact, God wants you to have knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And verse 3. We're talking about the fact that Jesus Christ said, I am the truth. And when it has to do with answering the question of the eternal destination of your soul, you know, there are some questions, it wouldn't really matter if someone lied to you. And you didn't get the truth. If you wanted to know where the Vegemite was, and they told you it was in the pantry, and they knew it was in the fridge, that lie is not going to be a life-changing, life-altering lie. But when it comes to the eternal destination of your soul, you need the truth. You need the truth. The honest truth. And Jesus said, I am the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Notice it. He will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. God would have all men to be saved and he would have all men to come unto the knowledge of the truth. God wants you to know the truth. He doesn't want you to be saved. He doesn't want the world out there to be deceived. He wants them to be saved. And he has a desire for them to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Not the lie, not the deception, but the truth. Go with me to John chapter 1 and verse 14. John chapter 1. We'll see here that the Lord Jesus Christ is full of truth. Not only did he say that he was truth, and he say that he confessed and declared plainly that I am the truth. John chapter 1. And verse 14 and verse 17. You want to know the truth? You want to know who truth is, where truth can be found? It's found in Jesus. John 1 and verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Notice verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You want to know where you can find truth? Mackenzie, you want to know where you can find truth? Truth is found in Jesus. That's where you find truth. That's where you find truth is in Jesus. And there's a lot of people out there that say that they have hold of truth, but there's no authority behind what they say. There's all the authority in the world behind Jesus. He's God. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way and the truth. Jesus is the truth. He's full of grace, but full of truth. He doesn't just have a little bit of truth. He's not just pointing out the way of truth or pointing to truth. He is truth in and of himself. Have a look in John 17:17. Not only is Jesus the truth, but here in John 17:17, we find that the Word of God is truth. And Jesus is just the Word manifest in the flesh, isn't it? We see that in John chapter 1. But John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You know, you children, as you go through school, and as you get up into adult years, you're gonna come across books, and you're gonna come across different things to read, different things to watch, different things to listen to. But the only place that you will find the truth is right here in the King James Bible. That's where you're gonna find truth. You want to know what is true? Here it is. Truth is all through this. This is all true. You know, you can take the Bible and it doesn't matter where you turn in your Bible. You can know it's true. But you know, there's an awful lot of things. We were watching the other day a documentary just for a few minutes until we were ready to come unglued. It was a David Attenborough documentary. You know, I love watching them because of the photography. Incredible photography. The nature and animals, just unbelievable. But here he was. You know what? He was explaining to us how the world began. And billions of years ago, there was a little blob. It swallowed itself. And he just went on from there and how over millions of years this little blob, and when it swallowed itself, it created a molecule. And then it somehow started wobbling. And it wobbled its way through the water and murk, and it wobbled its way out onto the ground. And it just went on. This is ridiculous. There's no truth in that. That's not true. Not true. No. Where'd he come up with that? No one's witnessed that. No one's evidenced that. That's just someone's idea. There's lots of ideas. There's lots of opinions. But ideas are not truth necessarily. The only ideas that are true are found in our Bible. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the truth. He is true and his word is true. How could the Lord Jesus be truth and everything he say be questionable? These are the words of God, aren't they? And if God is true, you know, there's some people in your life, they say things to you and you think, maybe, maybe not. Because you're basing that on a past experience of their character. And their character hasn't been particularly honest and faithful and straightforward. But God's character and God's word is always true, because He is truth. He cannot lie. He chooses not to lie. It's impossible for Him to tell an untruth. So we know we can approach His word with confidence, knowing that it is truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." What would be the point? How vexing to my soul to have to study the word of God on a daily basis and knowing that it's the word of error. Having to discern what is right and what is wrong. Thank God I can faithfully study the word. It's vexing enough to study the word. Vexing to the flesh, but how vexing to my soul if I didn't know if it was the truth. How perplexing to you in your morning devotions to pick it up and read it. Oh, I wonder if that's true. Oh no, it's all true. It's all true. It's truth. The word of God is true. Don't let anybody tell you any otherwise. The word of God is truth. Have a look with me in John chapter 8 and verse 31. The truth. John chapter 8 and verse 31 and 32. This is the wonderful thing about truth. John 8 and verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, "If you continue in my word," boy, that's a good place to preach from, "if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The truth is liberating. The truth will liberate you from self. The truth will liberate you from sin. The truth will liberate you from hell. The truth will make you free. In contrast, all that which is false, all that which is a lie, keeps you bound up and keeps you enslaved to self, enslaved to sin, enslaved to the world. There's no liberation in a lie. There's only liberation and being set free in redemption. And that's what salvation is to be redeemed. And to be redeemed is to be purchased and to be freed. And there's redemption, there's freedom, there's liberation in truth. Thank God. Thank God for that day, that Wednesday night that I went to church and sat under the preaching of the truth. And I heard the truth, and the truth made me free. And I can continue to read and study the truth, and it continues to liberate me and free me. The truth shall make you free. But you know, the truth is not always well received. A lie is often better received than the truth. But the truth will make you free. Go with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So what is truth? The truth is the Lord Jesus Christ, and the truth is found in the Word of God. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way and the truth." The Lord Jesus is not going to send you on a wild goose chase. He's not going to send you up the garden path. He's not going to give you the wrong directions. For eternity or for life itself, he's going to give you truth. And that's the only thing he's going to give you is truth. Now, when you're confronted with truth, when you're presented with truth, whether you're lost this morning or whether you're saved, when truth is presented to you, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with the truth? Well, have a look here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. There he is, Satan's lying wonders. They might be wonders and they might be wonderful, but they don't mean it's true. Lying wonders. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because, why did they perish? Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. We'll come back to it. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they shall believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are found to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God had from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice first of all in verse 10, they shall perish because they received not the love of the truth. They believed the lie in verse 11. Verse 12, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Notice what it says in verse 13, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God had from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. There's two things you're going to have to do with truth. When you're presented with the Lord Jesus, or when you're presented with truth in the Bible, there's two things you need to do. Number one, you need to receive it. And number two, you need to believe it. There are plenty of people that have been presented with truth time and time and time and time again. The Lord Jesus Christ has been placed before them. The way of salvation has been explained, has been shown time and time again. But they refuse to believe the truth or receive the love of the truth. And the only reason you're saved this morning, if you've been saved by the good grace of God, is because there was a time that you received the love of the truth. You believed it. You received it unto yourself. You see, just hearing truth, and are you children listening to me this morning? You paying attention? There's so many children, you know, they sit in church and they sit under the sound of preaching, but they're too busy being distracted and not receiving the truth. You know, hearing the truth, that's good. It's good to hear it. But hearing it doesn't make you free. Hearing it doesn't set you free. Hearing it doesn't save you. You know what saves you? It's when you hear the truth. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You've got to hear it, but then you've got to receive it. You've got to believe it. You've got to take it unto yourself. It's got to become yours. You've got to lay hold of it yourself. Just because mom and dad believe it doesn't mean you believe it. Just because mom and dad have received it doesn't mean you've received it. You've got to receive it unto yourself. And so many people have heard the truth, but they've not received it. They've chosen not to believe it. And you can't make anyone believe the truth. You can tell them the truth. You can be honest with them. You can say, look, this is the truth. But it's up to them whether they're going to believe whether it's the truth or not. I've never once been able to convince someone of the truth. They have to receive that themselves. They have to believe that themselves. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Just over a couple of pages, 2 Timothy. Chapter 2. And verse 24. What are you going to do with the truth? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24. And the servant of the Lord, this is my instruction to me, okay? The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, ready to teach, patient. Boy, how I need the Lord to help me in these areas, to be gentle, not striving, but to be gentle. Be ready to teach, apt to teach, be patient. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, meekly instructing people. They don't even realize they're opposing themselves, but they are. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. Repentance is an acknowledging of the truth. You can't repent unless you've been presented with the truth. And you can't repent unless you're willing to acknowledge the truth. It's one thing to hear it. It's a whole other thing to acknowledge it. You might be presented with truth, but you need to acknowledge truth. You know, that goes for not only lost people that have been presented with the gospel, but Christians as well. As you read your Bible, as the Holy Ghost of God deals with you, as you receive instruction from the pastor or from a brethren in the church, one of your brothers or sisters, they instruct you in something, you've got to acknowledge the truth. It's no good just sitting under the instruction and hearing the preaching. You've got to acknowledge it yourself. You've got to acknowledge the truth. And these people that want to say that repentance is work, what do they do with that verse? It says that God give them repentance. It's granted. Repentance is a grace just as faith is. Unless God grants you the grace to repent, you'll never repent. Unless God grants you the grace to believe, you'll never believe. We're saved by the good grace of God. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7. Go to verse 6. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, as burdened down with sins, led away with diverse lusts, all sorts of lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Janus and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Notice verse 7 and 8. First of all, there are those that are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know who jumps in that, who we can place in that pigeonhole, in that box? That's someone like David Attenborough. Oh, he's such a knowledgeable fella. Ever learning. They were just going on and on about him on the ABC radio the other day. What a marvelous mind he has. No doubt he has a pretty good mind. Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. What in the world? What is the point of learning lies and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth? Got a lot of knowledge. It's just all wrong. No one's doubting his knowledge. It's just all a lie. Never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, you'd be better off being a little bit ignorant and having truth than being a brainiac of the world and just knowing all lies. I'd rather be ignorant of a whole lot of things and have a whole of a little bit of truth than have a whole lot of knowledge of a whole lot of lies. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now verse 8. So there are those that are never able, it's not able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Notice verse 8. Now as Janus and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Resist the truth. You know, you speak to some people and you give them truth. You present them truth. You show them the truth. You preach the truth. You teach the truth. You instruct the truth. You give them the truth. And you would have experienced this. You give them truth. You might be talking to a lost person and you give them the truth and you can just see them stiffen against it. Just resist it. Oh no, not going to receive that. Now you can do that yourself. You understand that? You're capable of doing that. Sitting in that church pew, you're capable of sitting under the preaching of the truth as the word of God has been preached. You can resist it sitting in your pew. Christian can resist the truth just as much as a lost person can. In fact, you see it more often than not. You preach the truth, you give the truth, you instruct, you try and help people, and that's right, they just resist the truth of the Word of God. It's not that they're resisting me, it's not that they're rejecting me, but what you're doing, if you resist the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, you're resisting the Lord Jesus, you're resisting His truth. You're holding against it. You're pushing back against the truth. Now, remember, don't resist, receive. That's the difference. Help. But you know what it takes? You know what it takes? What it takes to stop resisting truth and receive truth? It takes humility. And people are so full of pride that they're not willing to receive the instruction and the knowledge of the truth. And like I said the other day, it's not that I have all the answers. It's just that all I'm doing is passing on the truth. That's my job as a herald. A herald doesn't deliver his own message. A herald delivers the message of the one that's giving him the message. The message is already written down. It's just my job to repeat the message. Just passing it on. And our responsibility as we sit under the preaching of the word is not to resist but to receive. Receive the truth. Don't resist the truth. If it's the truth, what do you want to resist it for? Your pride. You don't want to make changes in your life. You don't want to adjust so you line up with the truth. Oh, the Lord help me and the Lord help you just to receive truth and not resist the truth. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. And here we've got some people with itching ears. I charge thee therefore before God, this is the charge given to Timothy, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. There's the charge. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They heap to themselves what they want to hear. They heap to themselves, they pile up to themselves those teachers that tickle what they want to hear, tickle their ears. It's enjoyable to them, is what they want to hear. The remedy for that is preach the word. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Can I say this? I'm going to say this. Would you be careful about who you listen to on the internet? If you go on the internet, and you type in Sunshine Baptist Church, you'll find a little video on there. It's about 6 minutes long. And it's been put together. They're slighting us, they're mocking us, they're ridiculing us for preaching repentance. On YouTube it is. And the individual, I spoke, the individual has done it in regards to about three different churches in southeast Queensland. I was speaking to one of the other pastors that has a video on there as well about him mocking him. And it was one of his old church members that's done it. Used to be a faithful family in the church. But you know what happened? He got online and got listening to a wolf. He got listening to Stephen Anderson. You better be careful who you listen to on the internet. I only get to preach to you as often as you come to church. But you can sit at your home or at work or in the car on the internet and you can listen to whoever you want all week long. You better be careful who you're listening to. You better be careful they're not tickling your ears and just telling you what you want to hear, what you like. Just be careful. You say, well, that would never happen to me. You better be careful. Holy Spirit comes before a fall. Better be careful. Notice what it says in verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth. There's plenty of people that used to turn their ear to the truth. Oh, but not anymore now. They don't like the sound of that anymore. That's just not, you know, their ears are tickling and that's just not doing the job. That's just grating. That's irritating. And now they've taken their ear over here and they've turned it under fables. That fables, that's a novel. That's a lie. That's fiction. It's make believe. It's not real. What you need to turn your ears towards is the truth. The truth of the Word of God. Oh, but it hurts. Oh, praise God if it hurts. It's supposed to hurt. It's not supposed to be palatable. When was Jesus ever palatable? It's supposed to hurt. Sometimes it's comforting. Sometimes it's soothing. But sometimes it hurts. You better be careful you don't turn your ears away from the truth. Because it says, in there in verse 4, it says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. It's not that they never heard truth. They used to listen to truth. And they chose to turn their ear away from truth. Well, that's never going to happen to me. I love the truth. Well, most people say that and truth until truth hits them between the eyes. Until truth hits home and hits a little personal. And then it's like, ooh, I don't know if I like that. Has that ever happened to you? It's happened to me. It's happened to me. Preacher's been preaching away and he jumped all over my toes. And he wasn't lying, he was telling the truth. But it wasn't comfy. It wasn't enjoyable. But quite often the truth isn't pleasant. The truth isn't palatable. The truth isn't comforting. And the truth not always nice. Romans. Go into Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. What are you going to do with the truth? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way and the truth. When you're presented with truth, when someone presents you the truth of the Word of God, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to receive it? Are you going to believe it? Are you going to acknowledge the truth? Or are you going to resist the truth? Are you going to turn your ears from the truth? And here in Romans chapter 2 and verse 5, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance, this ought to be you, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honour and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also the Gentile, by but glory, honour and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, for there is no respect of persons with God. Notice verse 8. But under them that are contentious, oh, you come across some people and all they want to do is fight and argue and debate. Have you ever come across those? just contentious on every subject. They just want to take a contrary view and they just want to contend with you. Just for the sake of arguing. But notice here now, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth. That's why they're contentious, because they don't want to obey the truth. You know, as the pastor and as the preacher, all I can do is God helping me tell you the truth. It's up to you to believe it, receive it, and obey it. Why? Because you're a dictator? No. Because I'm the herald passing on the message. He's the dictator. God's the holy and only potentate. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the dictator. He's a dictator. Well, I'll have no dictator all over me. Well, that's all right. You won't have a savior either. He's our Lord and Savior. It's my job to tell you the truth. It's your job to obey the Master. Follow His lead. Follow His rule. Follow what He's laid down. Well, I've heard people say this time and time again. Well, I see what you're saying. I see that that's what the Bible says, but I feel like the Spirit just wants me to do this. Have you ever heard anyone say that? Well, the Spirit might want you to do that, but it's not the Holy Spirit. You better try the spirits. The Holy Ghost of God is not going to lead you contrary to the very book that He authored. He's not going to do it. The Holy Ghost of God wants you to obey what He wrote. Obey. Believe, receive, and obey. Go into Galatians chapter 4. We're just about done. Galatians chapter 4. This is not always popular. We're in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16. Am I, Paul said to the Galatians, am I therefore become your enemy? Because I tell you the truth. I know a preacher, a missionary. You know, we got this verse on here, but that's the verse that he has, Galatians 4:16, across the front of his pulpit. So many people that used to sit in church and used to sit under the sound of the preaching, used to sit under sound teaching, no longer sit under it because they got an issue with the herald. They got an issue with the messenger. Paul said, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Now I love you. I love everybody. There's not one person in this room I don't love. But it's not my job to please you. It's not my job to make you happy. My job is to tell you the truth. And if by me telling you the truth, I become your enemy, that's going to break my heart, and I'm going to be sorry that that's so. But I'm not going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ as the pastor of this church and give account whether I'm your friend. I'm going to stand and give an account whether I've given you the truth. Have I been a faithful herald? Have I been a faithful proclaimer and a faithful preacher of the truth? Am I supposed to be friendly? Am I supposed to be loving? And yes, I am. That's part of my, but it's not my job to be everybody's friend. It's my job to give the truth. It's my job to deliver the truth. Am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? I pray that never happens. I pray that that never happens between us. That just because I tell you the truth, you get your nose put out of joint towards me and you no longer have any time for me and for this church because I tell you the truth. Why does that happen? Why would he have said that to the Galatians? Because sometimes the truth is hard to swallow. Sometimes the truth is not sugar and spice and all things nice. Sometimes the truth is salt. And it's bitter. And it's hard to swallow. Takes a lot to gulp it down and chew it over. What are you going to do with the truth? God help you to believe it, receive it, and obey it. He said at the end of chapter 14 and verse 6, the end of that verse, he says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. The only way to God the Father is through Jesus. He's the way, and it's through the truth. The truth. The truth is the only thing. You receiving the truth, acknowledging truth, believing truth, and obeying truth, that's the only way you'll ever, ever find yourself in heaven with the Father. The truth. Aren't you glad that the truth is available? Isn't that wonderful? I'm thrilled to death. I'm thrilled to death that I heard truth. But I'm even more happy. Not only that I heard truth, but God's grace so worked in my life that there came to a place after 2 weeks of the Holy Ghost driving with me. I came to that place, came to the end of myself, and I was willing to believe, receive, and obey truth. And you know what? Ever since that day, I've been reading my Bible and coming to church. And every time I come to church, and every time I read my Bible, once again, I'm confronted with truth. And then I'm going to have to decide what I'm going to do with truth. Am I going to receive it? Am I going to believe it? Am I going to obey it?